Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Roberto, sorry I had to interrupt you for a brief piece of business. Why don't you continue where you left off here?
We started in 1993, the World UFO Congress in San Marino with the cooperation of the government of the Republic of San Marino. San Marino is a small republic in Italy. Well, they are the oldest republic in the world, founded in the 3rd century after Christ, you know. And they were extremely open to the idea of organizing such a congress in their country. So since then, we went on, and today we are going to present the 29th edition of this Congress. Of course, this year is quite different. There is coronavirus. It's impossible to have a normal Congress. So we are preparing an online Congress with 12 speakers, but in English and in Italian, and we are going to put it everything online. And I see that the general public is extremely interested, even if, unfortunately, presently we have the coronavirus pandemic.
And apparently you'll also be speaking at the International UFO Congress, which will be live streamed this September. So you're really quite thick into the field of ufology and still very active.
Yes, we try to do our best. You know that, in ufology, you do not gain anything. So there is not, your only mission is to inform the public, to study, to investigate. There is nothing else to do presently. If you are sufficiently lucky, probably, sometimes it's possible to cooperate even with authorities. Not always, of course.
Now, in your bio there on these conferences, it says a few interesting things. And we just talked about the National UFO Center in Italy and the Republic of San Marino World UFO Symposia. Another thing it mentions is that you've been involved with the Italian Air Force. Did you have any engagement with the subject of UFOs while in the Air Force? Or is this just part of your overall experience?
Well, you see, since in 1971 and 72, I was an officer in the Italian army, and I had my military duty in that period in a particular unit of the Italian army of that period, a NATO unit with atomic weapons at that time. I was requested to present a lecture to the superior officers of our unit, since they had verified that I was interested in the subject. I did this. It was a good, it had a good result. And since then, I was considered a sort of expert, even by the military in Italy. So I also wrote regularly articles about UFOs for Rivista Aeronautica. Rivista Aeronautica is the official magazine of the Italian Air Force. Sometimes they discussed with us certain cases. So you understand, there is not a rule. This may happen and may not happen. But I can say that, after all, the relationships between our center and Italian military authorities are rather good, after all. Of course, everybody is doing his own work. And, of course, you know that the military often are very, very attempt to what they say. So they say just a little of what they can say, of course.
Right. Have they released any of the files there in Italy, or like they have in other countries?
Yes, yes, they release the cases in the sense that they do not judge the cases. They simply say, okay, this is this event. The data we collected do not fit with any kind of normal explanation. So this case is to be considered unidentified, and they say nothing else.
Very interesting. You were also involved with Guy Pans, with the Unidentified
sometimes.
Aerospace Phenomena Research and Information Group in France.
Consider, for instance, that in 1978, I and the colonel of the Italian Army investigated a close encounter of the third kind event in Italy, a landing of one of these objects, with the two occupants. And frankly, it was very important because there were traces. We could take samples. We can have these samples analyzed. And everything could fit with the reality of what the witness had told us.
This is Roberto?
Cases.
Roberto, can you tell us about that case then? Can you sort of describe what happened from the witness's point of view and walk us through that case?
Yeah, it happened in September 1978 in Torrita di Siena. It's a small site not far from the city of Siena in Tuscany. In that occasion, a barber was visiting his mother, his old mother, and found the hair very, very, excited, since she said that something had happened, that a neighbor had told her that they had seen something in the skies, that the TV was not working, and so on. Okay, this guy said to his mother just to go to bed, because it was late and so on, and left her. He took his car and was going to leave. But suddenly he found a flying saucer with a dome exactly in front of his car. And everything, of course, ceased to work aboard the car. He remained motionless and very, very... in terror to see what was going to happen. The superior part of this dome opened, and two small entities came out and observed the car and him inside, of course. Then they re-entered the dome. The dome closed again, and the object speeded up towards the sky. But traces on the ground remained, of course. So later, when we investigated the case on the spot, we could take a sample and have them analyzed. And they were analyzed by Euratom. Euratom is the atomic lab of the European Union, so it's not too bad after all. And the data we obtained were completely in line with what the witness had told us. Three traces, three different traces, and so everything was in line with this, you see.
But I want to ask you a question, Roberto, about the traces. Was anything about them indicative of something that was not of Earth?
Well, of course, the event as such, the description of the occupants, the kind of propulsion, and the complete series of the event obviously showed that this case has nothing to do with what we may consider normal or leading us to consider this a sort of earthly craft or event. There is something absolutely different. So, frankly, the extraterrestrial hypothesis is the only, I think, explanation for an event like this.
Let's talk more about this, Roberto, in our next segment. More to come with Gene and Randall. And Roberto, you're in
the Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is how we do every day. We keep riding. And if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
This is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Roberto, let me clarify the question. I was interested in trace evidence. Was anything about the trace evidence indicative of an alien origin, or is it everything else about it?
Well, the traces were considered also from the standpoint of the effect on the ground. And it was proved that the soil had been submitted to a temperature of 600, 700 degrees for just a few seconds. Exactly in line with what the witness had said, because he said that the object had suddenly zoomed up towards the sky in three columns of light. And in fact, on the soil, we have three different kind of spots. It seems like it was burned terrain, you know. But this could be checked and seen exactly like the witness has said.
So the point is here is that evidently there's nothing else that could have possibly produced that kind of effect other than what was described?
No, absolutely. Consider that even the Italian military excluded this. Nothing normal could explain what happened in that case.
This is a big question, an overarching question I wanted to ask you because of what we were talking about briefly before. The possibility that some, especially the early sightings, may have been caused by test aircraft of some kind. Of course, we've got all those rockets. We've got all those rocket scientists who came to the U.S. and came to Russia after World War II. So do we see some mixture involved there, things that really were conventional, not possibly alien?
Not in this case. This is a completely alien case.
I understand that. I'm thinking in terms of other cases, because we started talking about before World War II with that Milan UFO crash and everything, whether any of those cases extending from before World War II through the period after World War II may have actually been conventional.
Well, if we try to make some kind of comparisons between all these cases, for instance, the first thing I could say that, for instance, in the 1933 case near Milan, we had two occupants. And even in this case, we have two occupants, even if they are quite different, you understand. It seems that there are some rules, some common rules in these events, as we can say.
That's a really interesting story. We should also look at a couple of other cases as well. Continuing on this list, just before that, for your bio, it says that you were also involved in the England House of Lords UFO study group. Now, I've never heard of this group. Can you tell us a bit about what that group is and what your involvement was?
Well, maybe you may remember that in 1978, the Earl of Clancarty was the author of a historical UFO debate in the House of Lords. It lasted a couple of days, and it was very impressive in the European press. It was a very historical event at that time. This was at the origin of the creation inside the House of Lords of a UFO study group headed by the Earl of Clancarty. And they began to invite some experts to speak about certain aspects of UFO events. The first to speak to the House of Lords was in 1979 the Spanish UFO researcher Antonio Ribera. And the second was me, because they invited me to speak about the incredible Italian UFO wave of 1978 and 1979. And I did so. It was very impressive and very interesting, since to be able to speak to the House of Lords, well, was very interesting, really. They were very interested, of course, of what I told them, and they continued to go on with their activity for some, I think, 3 or 4 years, up to the death of Lord Clancarty. After Lord Clancarty died, this group disbanded inside the House of Lords.
So what was it that your group actually did with in connection with that group?
Well, no, they do no longer exist at present, you understand. As I told you, after the death of Lord Clancarty, this group disbanded. And you see that the British government had his own policy about UFOs. Nick Pope was the official speaker for the British government about UFOs, you know the story.
Now, the Earl was commonly known as Brinsley Lepore-Trench, correct?
Yes, exactly. Lord Clancarty was really Brinsley Lepore-Trench, that's correct.
And he had written some early books about ancient astronauts, as I recall.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Brinsley was a very, well, he was also, for a certain period of time, the editor of Flying Saucer Review in London, which is the oldest UFO publication in the world. It was founded in 1955, as far as I know. And he wrote many books about UFOs, really.
I wanted to basically bring everyone up to date. I, for several years, and it wasn't the cheap magazine I subscribed to, I did subscribe to the Flying Saucer Review. It was not a thick magazine, but it was very, very well printed. Printed on very high quality paper, really, really expensive to produce.
Yes, the content was the most important thing, yes.
Boy, that takes us back so many years. Randall, you were saying?
Yeah, the final thing that it says in your bio for the International UFO Congress is that you've been involved in SETI. Now, have you been actively involved in SETI, or in what capacity?
Yes.
Or, yeah, tell us about that.
As I told you, I also operated in Italian media, and I was an aerospace journalist. And I had the opportunity, also as a sociologist, to present two papers, and they were both accepted by SETI, and they were officially presented in the International Astronautical Federation Congresses in 1987 and 88 in Brighton in 1987 and in Bangalore, India in 1988. Well, the subject was let's forget for one moment all the technical aspects of SETI and try to answer to a question.
Let's do our break here, and then we'll answer that question, at least ask the question about SETI. Roberto Panatti and Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Two hurricanes are headed for the United States, one in Texas and one in Hawaii. Preparations are underway in the Lone Star State as Hurricane Hanna heads towards the coast. Dangerous storm surges are now pounding the coastline. Up to a foot of rainfall can be expected from the Category 1 storm. In the Pacific, the Hawaiian Islands are being threatened by Hurricane Douglas. It's expected to make landfall sometime early Sunday morning on the island of Maui. Forecasters say it's either going to be a Category 1 hurricane or possibly a tropical storm. Governor David Ige.
It is a powerful storm that is forecasted to affect the islands significantly.
Hurricane Douglas was initially classified as a Category 3 hurricane. This is USA Radio News. An iconic TV host has passed away. USA Radio's John Hunt has the story.
We have no idea where we're going, who we are, where we've been.
We're just one of us.
Regis Philbin, a legendary television host best known for the morning show Live with Regis and Kathy Lee and the widely popular game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, has died. He was 88. His family said, "We are grateful for the time we got to spend with him, for his warmth, his legendary sense of humor, and his singular ability to make every day into something worth talking about." And on Instagram, Kelly Ripa, Regis' longtime daytime co-host, responded by saying, "We are beyond saddened to learn about the loss of Regis Philbin. We send our deepest love and condolences to his family and hope they can find some comfort knowing he left the world a better place." Philbin held the Guinness World Record for most hours on camera on U.S. television, with more than 16,700 hours over the course of his career. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
And but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
This is Being the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Okay, SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, correct?
Exactly. And as I told you, the papers I produced for SETI were about a definite question. What have we to do when we will have the opportunity to have the contact? In other words, my first paper was entitled SETI, Releasing the News. Because the problem is, how will people react to the news that we are not alone in the universe, that man is not the center of the universe, and all the other things? This is important. As a sociologist, I try to answer to these questions, you understand? Frankly, I think they are very, very important questions.
So those papers sound very interesting, and I agree, those are important questions. What did kind of conclusions did you come from when writing those papers? Can you give us an idea of what you think the ramifications would be of disclosing alien visitation to the world?
Well, in 1987, in my first paper, I suggested that SETI scientists could be the best people chosen to educate the world about the perspective that we are not alone and so on. Frankly, I noticed, on the other hand, that it is not so easy to have this role, because after all, you should consider that even SETI scientists are a little afraid to be considered too open to the idea that really we are not alone in the universe and so on. Because surely you understand that this perspective puts man down from his throne in the center of the universe. And this is a big problem. There are a lot of questions from a religious point of view, from an economical point of view, even from the standpoint of the fans and so on. So, really, what the SETI scientists say is that when and if we will have really the contact, the problem will be to tell the world this. In fact, they created the so-called SETI post-detection protocol, which faces this problem. And if you consider it well, you will discover that the normal people will be the last to know, because before telling to the general people how things are, a lot of group of different nature will have to be informed, to discuss, to see and to say how and when to say certain things and so on. In other words, authorities are afraid of not to be able to control the possible negative reactions of the general public.
That makes sense. So you submitted these papers to a SETI group. Now, there are a number of SETI groups and in the world, the most famous of which is the SETI Institute, which is home to the Carl Sagan Center. Did they receive a copy of your papers?
No, they chose my papers. They were officially read. They are academic papers, and they were presented officially in 1987 in the International Astronautical Federation Congress, and the second one in 1988 in Bangalore, India, in the same scheme, in the same Congress the year later.
Very interesting.
I am the only author, from the standpoint of ufology, who had the opportunity to publish academic papers about this subject.
Have you had a chance to discuss it with some of the other SETI scientists? And how well was it received?
Yes, of course, but the problem is that they are a little afraid of possible negative impact of the their normal colleagues, you understand? Don't forget that the science, was never free. Science is linked, of course, to economy, to universities, to politics, to power. And so, frankly, it's hard to find a scientist who may say that he's really free. You understand?
Oh, yes, definitely. Which is why I was asking about it, because, of course, the late Stanton Friedman, he used to refer to SETI as silly effort to investigate, and he really didn't like SETI very much. I actually think it's a very worthwhile effort, but you're right. There is that maybe a bit of academic elitism going on with SETI, where they don't seem to recognize that alien visitation is a reality. They're already here. And so there would be a resistance to people who consider themselves to be ufologists. So I was just wondering about your experience with that.
Yeah, you should consider that I met Professor Frank Drake, and we invited him in San Marino too. And he told me openly that, you see, you are nice guys, and you face these subjects from a correct standpoint. But consider that if the world knew that I am here for your Congress, probably no funds will be given us from the scientific world. Because really, you see, the UFO problem, and as we know it, it's very far from the SETI environment. Most of SETI scientists do not like to speak about UFOs, because they consider that this subject may be a sort of ridicule for their activity. You understand?
Absolutely. And so it's very interesting that you've made this effort to introduce ufology into SETI in a more academic sense. And in your view, as a professional sociologist, how might we best fit ufology into the academic system?
It's very hard. The only thing to do is to develop everything from the standpoint of science and to select a number of data in order to let the scientific world understand that this is at least a serious problem. But you understand that science has to do, as I told you before, with politics, with defense, and so it's not completely free. This is the problem.
I think maybe if I could elaborate a little bit there, there is the scientific side, and although sociology can be considered a science, part of the social sciences, I think it's a little more free, and a large part of ufology is the social side, the cultural aspect, the beliefs, the way that our view of alien visitation has spread through our culture. Do you think that could be something that we could study academically with less ridicule?
Well, frankly, I think that inside the SETI community, of course, there are people extremely attempt to a correct way of behaving in this sense.
Let's do our break here. We got more to come.
Yeah.
With Gene and Randall and Roberto, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Fascinating discussion with Roberto Pinati, who's been running around the UFO field for many, many years, has been around the world, and has an amazing focus. And we're talking here about SETI. But casually speaking, when I think of SETI, we can go back to some of the other items you were talking about, Roberto. I think of the fact that we're looking for evidence of intelligence, signals from outer space. But how would we even begin to know or contemplate what kind of communication systems they're using, or be able to decode what they're doing?
It's not easy. You should consider, for instance, that the SETI world banned the possibility to send signals in space due to the fact that they feared the possibility that negative aliens may discover our civilization and may come here to destroy us. This is exactly what they said. And they said that what we have to do is just to hear, to try to detect signals, but not, we do not have to transmit. Only recently this concept was violated by Russian SETI scientists, and they began to have METI, messaging extraterrestrial intelligence, but only in the last few years. For years and years, we transmitted nothing towards aliens.
Right, but then the other assumption is the signal that we receive may have been sent 5 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. How would you even have a conversation with them? It's not as if we've perfected subspace radio like Star Trek. So you get a signal from another planet that's 100 light years away, so it takes maybe 100 years to get here. Then you send a signal back, it takes another 100 years. We don't even know if the same civilization exists anymore. If you want to have a back and forth conversation, it's going to take thousands of years. So how do you do it? The logic kind of bothers me here.
I completely agree. Of course, this is not the best way to have a sort of contact or conversation. SETI is only able, in the best case, to let us understand that someone is sending signals, and so that we are not alone in the universe. But that's all. Probably it's hopeless to think that it's possible to have a sort of discussion through SETI means.
One of the other things that sounds really interesting in your bio, actually, is it mentions that your role as a world-class expert has been confirmed by the Vatican ET policy. What is the Vatican ET policy? I didn't even know there was such a thing. And what sort of role have you played in that?
Well, really, as far as we may say, since the 60s, different Vatican exponents had the opportunity to express themselves in an extremely positive way towards the problem of alien life. And so we have, for instance, Jesuits such as different Jesuits writing articles about the possibility of alien life in the universe. And even Father Balducci, for instance, who was very close to Pope John Paul II, was a sort of ufologist, because he was also a speaker in our congresses, and he simply said that obviously we are being visited by extraterrestrial spaceships, and this is not absolutely against the faith, the Catholic faith. So you understand that this is extremely interesting if we also consider the fact that according to some Protestant environments, well, aliens may be related to demons. No, absolutely. Catholics consider intelligent life in the universe as a normal and almost evident thing. Consider that, for instance, the head of Specola Vaticana, which is the astronomical observatory of the Vatican, operating not only in Italy but also in Arizona, as you know, well, he said openly in Osservatore Romano, which is the official newspaper of the Vatican, that surely one day we will meet advanced intelligent beings in the universe. And when this will happen, we have to consider them subjects of right and our brothers in the universe. This is the official position of the Catholic Church. Not only, even the present Pope, that is Pope Francis, in one of his recent declarations, said that if by chance one day a delegation of Martians will come to us, and they will ask to be baptized, well, he said, in this case, what will have to do the Church? In other words, he did not give an answer, but of course it is an excellent way to let people discuss about this subject, you understand? We have the impression that the Vatican is just preparing the general public and Catholics to the perspective that one day aliens and humans will meet.
Well, that's really interesting. But I mean, there has been some discussion about what sort of belief systems the aliens have from people who claim to be contactees or have been abducted or been in contact with them just because they were in the right place at the right time, or maybe the wrong place at the right time. And there's no indication that the aliens have any religious belief system that is even close to ours. I think that one of the answers that they gave when they were asked if they have any kind of a religion or a god is that they referred to the universe itself.
Well,
so why would we expect them to want to get baptized? I mean, you know, isn't this just putting our human vision of deities onto them?
Well, if we consider everything from the story of ufology, well, contactees report contacts with human-like beings, and they have a high form of religion. They have they consider a sort of creator in the universe. They are people who says that, for instance, war, violence are obviously things they do not practice. And they say that we should behave in a quite different way, in this sense. So, from a moral point of view, from a religious point of view, the contactee world has all this. In the case of abductees, this aspect is not focused, frankly. Even if, in certain cases, also this may appear if we have to consider certain cases. So it's hard to have answers about this. But, I should say that if we consider that the creation of the universe is not over, there is a sort of continuous creation in the universe, in an expanding universe, this may be even a sort of religious concept.
You know what? Let's get into more of this. E.T.'s religion, or how many E.T. races are there? More to come with Roberto, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.